Well, greetings to each of you in the name of Jesus. Welcome to each one. It's a blessing to have visitors, guests here. Welcome. And Joel's are back. Welcome. Just good to be together in God's house this morning. I invite you to turn to Isaiah chapter 44. I've entitled my brief comments this morning, "The Exclusive Redeemer of Israel." Reading the first 8 verses from ESV of Isaiah 44. "But now hear, O Jacob, my servant, Israel, whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They shall spring up among the grass like willows by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call on the name of Jacob, and another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it? And you are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any." Our God is a God of redemption. And that's one of the recurring themes that comes through in the Conqueror series that us men are participating in on Tuesday evenings. That is of redemption. You know, the thread of redemption permeates all of Scripture. What do we mean by redemption? What is redemption? What does redeem mean? Well, it's multifaceted, and it covers a large area. One of the definitions is that it means to buy back, thus meaning the liberation of any possession or object or person, usually by payment of a ransom. One of the Greek words used for redemption means to loose, and in that way, to set free. So it could be used as in freeing from chains, from slavery, from prison, a variety of ways there. Now, in a theological context, redemption indicates a freeing from the slavery of sin, the ransom or price paid for our freedom. And of course, that thread runs throughout the Gospels, where we learn that Christ gave his life as a ransom for many. We're beginning a study of the minor prophets, of the children of Israel, and the lessons that we can learn from them. There was a question that I came across in the Biblical Illustrator by Jay Stocker that I found rather engaging, that I thought could be appropriate to think about. He asked the question, why is it that the people of God should be called by the name of the third of the patriarchs rather than the first two? I'll just read one paragraph here where he says, "We often indeed find them called the seed of Abraham, and we should easily understand what was meant if we read of the children of Isaac. But as far as I remember, they are nowhere simply Abraham or Isaac, whereas it is perfectly common to hear them called Jacob or Israel, the name of the third patriarch being directly transferred to his descendants. Not only so, this usage has passed over into the New Testament, and we still sometimes call the whole body of living Christians the Israel of God. This is a bit surprising, considering that if we think of these three lives of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, there's some interesting comparisons. So if the children of Israel, or as God's people, are we more nearly like Israel, or more nearly like Abraham, or more nearly like Isaac? He asked this question this way: is the average, is it because we are more nearly him than they are to Abraham or Isaac? Is the average Christian an imperfect, stumbling mortal, a compound of obvious vices and struggling virtues, as Jacob was? It would be harsh to say so, but we may come near the mark if we put this suggestion in a different form. Jacob was a progressive character among the patriarchs. His beginnings were ignoble, and the vices of his nature long clave to him. Yet by degrees he surmounted them. He lived down the evil which was in him, and his end was that of one who, after many defeats, had at last obtained the victory. And, you know, in some ways, there is so much more that's desirable that we read about Abraham than we do about Jacob. But Jacob's life, of course, his name means supplanter, deceiver. That was how he began. And yet, when Jacob met God, when Jacob, we remember the struggle. As he was crossing the brook, as he was on his way to making things right with his brother, after many years of wrong, he met God, and there God touched him, and he became a changed man. And so perhaps it is, is this worth thinking about, that the children of Israel, as children of Israel, there is change that happens, recognizing that our lives can begin in deceit and deception and wrong, and yet if we let the Lord touch our lives and change us, he can give us a new name, a new purpose, new life, and new hope. I find in in Isaiah 43 a scripture that again points us back to the Lord our Redeemer, and I invite you just to turn back to Isaiah 43. I'd like to read the first 11 verses and think about the exclusivity of the Lord being our Redeemer and what happens through this. As we consider his exclusivity, he is Israel's only Savior, and he is our only Savior. Verse 43, chapter 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Bring out the people who are blind, yet have eyes, who are deaf, yet have ears. All the nations gather together and the peoples assemble. Who among them can declare this and show us the former things? Let them bring their witnesses to prove them right, and let them hear and say, it is true. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me no God was formed, nor shall there be any after me. I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. So it is indeed a blessing to look to this Savior, our exclusive Lord and Master. These things, as in the Old Testament story, are written as an example to us for our instruction, so that we can learn and we can grow. I'm just hoping that our curiosity will be piqued as we think together on the lessons that we can learn from the sacred pages of His Word. Shall we kneel for prayer? Our precious Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. We honor you and we rejoice in your salvation. Rejoice that you are our Redeemer, the Redeemer of Israel, and now the Redeemer of us. Rejoice in your great plan of salvation. We stand, we kneel here in awe of you, in awe of your word, and how that you orchestrated the events of many years, of many people, through a variety of circumstances, and through prophets who wrote your word and have given us these examples from which we can learn. So we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to, in your word, understand your stories, your story, that you would help us as the disciples on the Emmaus Road, open to us, open our understanding, that we could see you in all of Scripture. Mm-hmm. So just bless each aspect of our worship this morning. We ask that you would help us to honor you, and we ask that you receive all the glory and all the praise through Jesus. Amen.